Hello, relay friends. Welcome to Chat with a Pro. Lindsay Hine and I are back after a little hiatus of not doing this. We are back doing this, and we're launching it with my other favorite Lindsay Flanagan. Welcome to the show, Lindsay.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited to talk with you both. I feel like it's been a while. I don't think I've talked to you, Lindsay, since... Man, I'm trying to think. It might have been like before Paris. Maybe we did like a podcast 2 years ago. And then Laura, I just ran into you the other day. But I feel like since I've been back from Australia, I'm like, I feel like I've been in this bubble. I'm like, why have I not like seen anyone? But I think like when it snows, like for some reason in my mind, I'm like, for some reason, you just don't see anybody like out.
No, I know. It's so funny. So I ran into Lindsay. Lindsay and I both live in Boulder. Actually, Lindsay and I live in the burbs of Boulder, as I like to call it. We live in Superior. Anyway, so we're like neighbors. We run together a lot. We're good friends. But I hadn't seen Lindsay since Orlando, and I didn't even really see you in Orlando because it's just chaos and crazy.
So much
and
chaos. I think I saw you like coming out of the elevator, but the elevator.
I saw you in the elevator, and I was like, Lindsay, hey.
That was the most stressful part of Orlando. It was just like, you had to wait forever, and then you get in there, and there's like 60 people, and I was like, I don't like this. Can I take the stairs?
No.
Like the 10th floor, and I was like, please. I can't. Stairs.
Same. So. It's like my least favorite experience. So I didn't really get to see you there. And then we got back and both kind of, you know, do as you do after the trials, the whole decompressive state. And so then I saw Lindsay on Saturday at a parking lot of this like very, it's out at the res in Boulder, for those of you familiar with that. If you're not, it's just a parking lot. There's tons of dirt roads. It's where cyclists, runners, everyone goes to train. And I saw Lindsay on Saturday and I was like, oh my God, why have I not seen you? Because like, yeah, you went to Australia, which is actually kind of what I wanted to hear a little bit about that. I haven't seen you since you went to Australia. You and I raced the Boston, the BAA half, and then you jetted off and you did your whole training block there. Like, how was it? I mean, what an experience.
Yeah, it's crazy to think that like we did, I think it was BAA half was like end of, no, it was early November. And then I actually flew from Boston straight to Australia. I think I went like Houston to Sydney to Adelaide. But then I learned that actually like the Houston to Sydney flight is actually the longest flight you can take in the world right now. I think it's like 17 or 18 hours or something like outrageous. And I found that out as I got on the plane and I was like, is empty. There's like 10 people. I don't know how we were even allowed to take off, but it was very funny. Got to Australia, like, I think because the time change is so outrageous, like, it's actually pretty easy with jet lag because it's kind of like you just skip an entire day. So it worked well, like, kind of had, like, an easy, like, you know, you're going to have a little bit of easy days after a race. But it was great. Like, I mean, I feel like at this point in my career, I'm like, I've been to a lot of like the altitude places and I'm like, I've got to see like a lot of different training grounds, but I was like, I want to go somewhere warm. Like, I don't want to have to deal with snow and weather and all those things kind of in the block. And so I was talking to my coach Benita, who is Australian, and she's like, you should come to Australia. And at first I just kind of laughed. I was like, oh, I'm not going to go to Australia. And then I was like, wait, why not? Like, why can't I go to Australia? I was like, I have the most amazing job that I can do my job anywhere. And I might as well take advantage of it. And like, I'm not really like, I don't love like, you know, certain spots in the US for warm weather training. So I was like, sure, I might as well go. So went there and I think I was there for maybe like 12 or 13 weeks. And it was a lot of fun. It was, I got to like, you know, I met a lot of new people, like had people to train with. Like, I think it's always nice. I don't know if you feel like this, Laura, like when you're in a training block, sometimes it's nice to not run like the places that you know you always run. And you're like, I know my splits on this route. I know exactly what I do. But I was like, I don't know. I've never been here before. So I have nothing to compare this to. So it's kind of like, it takes a little bit of like the pressure away of that.
Who did you train with while you were there? I saw some of your Instagram. So it looked like you did actually have training partners, which is kind of nice for you because I know when you're here, you're doing so much by yourself. So yeah, who were you able to train with there?
Yeah, it was fun. So I actually know Jess Trengrove Stenson. She was just coming off of having her child and she was kind of getting back into things, but she was amazing. Like, showed me around everywhere. Like, we were able to do runs together and it was fun to watch her like get in like really good shape as she was kind of getting back into things. And she has a marathon coming up. And then also Tara Palm, who was a really great track athlete and she's kind of transitioning to the marathon. She was also awesome. Like, we like met at the track every Tuesday. Like, we like had this tempo route we went to like every Friday. Like, we always had someone to like warm up and cool down with. And I think that can be like the biggest thing too when you're training for a marathon. You're like, I just need to like be held accountable and I just need to like meet someone because then I know I'll get out the door. And it was like, it was starting to get really hot. Like, I think the day I left, it was 104. So like, yeah. And it's funny, like in Adelaide, I think like a lot of places, like, okay, maybe the high is 100, but the low is like 70. But no, there it's like if the high is 104, the low is like 96. It's just like there's no like in between. So it's just like kind of nice to just be like, okay, I have to meet early. Like, I got to get this done. When you're meeting at 6, like, it's way better to like have like a group of people. So,
Lindsay, why in the States do you train by yourself so much?
Yeah, it's funny. I feel like I'm in Boulder, which there's so many people here and like lots of people to do easy runs with, but a lot of people like, you know, are on teams or have like their own coach or things like that. And as you get older, I feel like when you're doing marathon training, a lot of it is like dialing into your own pace anyway. So like, I think if I was a track athlete or I was like really going for like the 5K, I do think you need people like on the track. There's something to be said for like getting pulled along, but like, even when I was like running with Tara a lot, like warming up and stuff, for the marathon stuff, we kind of would like do our own paces. And I think like, I don't know if you guys have experienced this, but oftentimes in the marathon, like you're alone for half of it. I don't even know how, but you get out there and you're like, I'm going to have all these people to run with. And then you're like, no, I won't. There's no one by me. This is crazy.
What are your emotions right now post trials? Like, have you kind of like recovered from the whole not making the team thing? You were for sure one of the favorites out there.
Yeah, it was, I mean, that was, it was really tough. I mean, and I think one thing that I am really good about is like, kind of like when a race is over, like you have to let it go. Like, I could sit and I could dwell on it and think about this forever. Like, how could have I changed the outcome? But like, honestly, I couldn't. And I went in and did like everything I could to prepare for that race and like felt so good. But I woke up 5 a.m, day of the race, and like my stomach, I was like, oh my gosh, I feel nauseous. Like, and I'm not someone who even gets nervous. I'm like, if you've done the training, there's really nothing to be nervous about. And so I was like, my sister's in the room and she was like, I thought you were going to throw up. I was like, so did I. It was like the weirdest thing. And then same thing, like I got to like the starting area and like my stomach felt so off. And I was like, you just tell yourself you're fine. You're like, I'm going to lie to myself until like this race is over. But then like, we started and like for the first 10 miles, I mean, this is all gross, but I was like kind of like throwing up like bile. And I was like, I'm just going to manage this the best I can. And then kind of got to like 15 miles and I was like, I need a bathroom like right this second. And I don't know about you, Laura, I didn't see a single bathroom on that course, like not a single bathroom. And just like, I mean, they did a great job putting on this race, but to this day, like I still don't know where the bathrooms were. And so like, it was just like a really awful kind of experience in that way. And where I finish, and obviously I'm like emotional because I'm like, you know, you can like have your whole block and have something like that not happen, and then on like the most important day that happens. But that's like that's the marathon, and I think that's why, one, I love it and you hate it, because you're like, I can do all these things but I can't control everything. And so I was really disappointed, but I was like, you know what, like I like trained so hard for that, like the fitness is there, I like, it's not gonna go away. And like, while the dream didn't come true this time, like I have a lot more things to like look forward to this year.
Yeah, I mean, again, for those of you who don't know, Lindsay was 8th and she ran 2:26. So now knowing that you were having stomach issues, that was basically going on before the race, throughout the race, you never found it. So you didn't stop then because there was no bathrooms. You just kept going.
I did not stop, but it was not. Now I finished that race and I was like I went like straight through the chute and then I saw the first bathroom finally. And I just went straight in there. And like Kaylee, my sister, she was like right at the finish line. She's so distraught for me. Like she's like crying and she's so upset. And I was like, I just need a bathroom like right this second. And like, I couldn't even address like anyone until that was out of the way. But it is, it was like, it was such an unfortunate thing. But I mean, again, like it's something you can't control and it just happened. So.
Yeah, I think like, and I've always said that the marathon is so hard because like you put like months and months of training and prep and like you control everything that you can control. Like you have nutrition, you have all like you've put everything into this, but you still need a little bit of luck on the day. Like you still need some of the stars to align. And like, even if one star is out of whack, like that can be like the difference, especially like a high stakes race like the Olympic trials. So yeah, I know. I could feel the heartbreak, Linz. I'm so sorry that like it just wasn't the day you dreamed of, but such an impressive day. Like when I look at your last few marathons, yes. Oh my God, I'm so sorry. Race fit. So Henry. Sorry. Good luck editing that out, Linz. Henry, stop.
Oh, Lauren, you had the same thing. Like, what a crazy freak. Like, you end up, like, getting sick basically out there as well. Like, something you totally couldn't control.
Yeah, I mean, again, it's just one of those things that it can be so heartbreaking. But, yeah, I mean, you've had an amazing, like, you had an amazing run-up to the trials. Like, you were ninth in Budapest at the World Championships. You know, you ran incredible at Gold Coast. You ran great at Paris. Like, you've just been consistently putting, like, one marathon after the other together. And I think that is so incredibly difficult to do. And only, like, very few people can do that. So yeah, I mean, I just, yeah, your story is very inspiring and your journey has been incredible. And I know this was, you know, this is all part of it, but, yeah. So what's the launching off point now that the trials is kind of over, you've had some time to kind of decompress and reset? Like, what are you looking at as far as like the rest of the year or at least the spring goes?
Yeah, it's funny. I don't know if you did this too, but like you finish, it doesn't go your way. And like immediately you're like, oh my gosh, what am I going to do next? Like, what am I going to do next? And like, you know, my agent is like, who's awesome. His name's Brendan. And he was just like, you know, why don't you just like give it like a week? Like you don't have to sign up for anything right this second. And I was like, no, I want to do all the races. And so, like then you get out the calendar and it's crazy to be done with your race in February. You're like, I mean, you have the entire year essentially. And so it was like, okay, do we want to do another marathon? Do you want to do like a track? And like, for me, I have to do something that excites me. And like the track at this point, maybe like in another cycle, I'll want to do it. But I'm just like not into the track. And I don't know if you guys are, but I was like, I think I'm going to stick to the roads. Like, let's find some different races. You know, I was like supposed to do New York half and had a little something pop up. So I wasn't able to go. But was really looking forward to that. And so right now it's like, I want to do a spring marathon. I know I'll do the fall marathons, but I also just want to do some races I haven't done before. I think I just want to keep it fun. I also, I really loved going to Australia and I would love to do some more training camps. I know it's really cool. ASICS has this setup in Font-Romeu, France, where you can go for like a month. They have this whole like little training center. So my boss actually was emailing me yesterday. He's like, do you want to go to this? I was like, absolutely. So I'm just like trying to find now like when like makes the most sense to go over there. But again, it's like, it's only March. We have the whole year to like, you know, do a lot of cool races. And I think, I don't know. I think you can see the Olympics as like the pinnacle and the only cool thing you can do. And I mean, that's obviously amazing, but we can still do some other cool races, you know, that maybe aren't that.
Yeah. The trials is funny because it's this thing that you've been building towards for 4 years. And then it's like this huge, like the day comes and it's like this huge thing that you've been prepping for so long. And then it's over. And same, Linz, I was like, it's February. That's what I summed up all of 2024 to be, was like the US Olympic marathon trials and then like hopefully Paris. And like, that's the year. And then like you come off of it and you get back and you're like, it's February 5th. Like, okay. So like I have the entire year. And like, it just reminds you that like, yes, the trials and the Olympics are like such an achievement and this incredible, like the pinnacle, one of the pinnacles of sport. But there's so many other things out there that, in my opinion, are even like, you know, can even be more competitive and like or still give you those global stages and that experience. So it's just pivoting and like looking forward to the next thing. But yeah, I'm excited for you. So you got a spring on the docket, a spring marathon.
Yeah, I was like, you know, you could do winter, you could do spring. And it's fun. Like, in the buildup, like everyone asks you like, oh, well, what's next after the trials? And you're like, don't ask me that. I don't know what's next. And then depression. It's funny. Because now then as soon as that day is over, you see everybody's like scrambling to figure out what's next. It's like, everyone's like, well, what are you doing? What, even like we're in like the little like award, like waiting for the awards, which also we had to wait like 2 hours. And everyone was just like, you know, it's like not a really a fun place to be because it's like the only people that are happy are like the three and then everyone else is like distraught. So it was just like 2 hours of everyone being like very distraught. But even then everyone's like, what are you doing? Are you going to do this race? And it was kind of fun. Like everyone's in the same boat then. It's like, all right, what are we going to do? And then it's cool when you see people are going to do Boston and like some people have already got back on the track. And I was like, good for them. Like, that's really impressive.
Had you done I know. Sorry, I'm going back to the trials just quickly. I know. We were like, well, this is going to be a bouncy back conversation, but apparently Laura and I have lots of Lindsay questions. I didn't know that. I didn't know that you were sick, like felt sick the entire race. Have you done any post-race interviews?
Honestly, I didn't. And it was fine because I was like, and one, I'm not one to like make excuses. And I'm like, I will tell you exactly what happened out there or whatnot. But like, yeah, I don't know what it was. And I've talked to some other people that had like some GI like situations, but it definitely wasn't my fueling or anything because this was like before I even started the race. It was like 5 a.m. I was like, oh no, what is going on?
And maybe then, you had like a little bug even, just like a little virus. Yeah, and then
the bathroom situation. I mean, we've all been there, but it was terrible. It was like one of the worst experiences in that regard. But yeah, it was like, I just like couldn't control it. And it's one of those things you're like, if I would have found a bathroom and like jumped in and got back out, would have I been fine? And I'm like, Lindsay, you don't know that. Like there's no, if you like stop, are you going to like jump back in? Like I saw people, you know, passed out in the grass with like 2 miles to go. I'm like, anything could go out there. It was madness.
Do you guys like, so is this something we need to make sure the next trial city, like, hey, y'all need to have some bathrooms. Like, did you experience that in Atlanta?
I was just going to say, Linz, were there bathrooms in Atlanta? I literally like blacked out for so much of that race. So like, I don't know, but like, I'm assuming.
I don't know. I'm honestly not positive, but it was funny because I was talking to someone. I had dinner with like a friend the other day and she was just there watching. And we were like discussing this situation. She's like, oh, there actually were bathrooms, like, cause she was a spectator, but she's like, but you never would have saw them. She was like, they were like pushed behind everything. I have another friend who like, she was having some stomach things too in the race. And she like climbed a fence and like jumped over like a wall to get to a bathroom. And I was just like,
no.
And maybe what you're so delirious when you're out there, and I'm sure there was something, but maybe in the tech meeting next time, they're just like, and the bathrooms will be right here when you need them.
Yeah.
It shouldn't be that hard. I shouldn't have to climb a fence to find a bathroom. Like no. They need to make that, they need to line parts of the course as they do in most big level marathons with bathrooms. It's so funny you say that. Cause I'm like, yeah, I didn't see any either.
No.
It should be at least two. Unless
you're looking, you're like not really thinking about it, but they did do a great job. I will say like they did awesome. Like everything about it was very cool. But yeah, that's just like my one, if they send us like a little email, that's just like,
feedback form.
Just like feedback form. I'd be like, that's the number one thing I'd say. Yeah. And I would love to see if anybody else thought the same thing.
Yeah, no, I'm curious now. Yeah. Wild. Wow. Okay.
When you announced that you were doing, it's Hamburg that you're doing, right?
Yeah. It's end of April. Yes.
I saw Lindsay's post and it said something about Paris and Hamburg was in there, but I just like in my like, I do everything fast. I'm a tornado ways. I saw the word Paris. I was like, oh, Lindsay Flanagan's running Paris. So I emailed her to come on this and I mentioned Paris and she's like, yeah, I'm so excited to run Hamburg.
In the Paris though, right?
It's confusing though, because like the new ASICS shoe was called like the Metaspeed Paris. And so I think I mentioned that. And there's like a lot of, you know, you're saying a lot of different cities and things. So I totally get it.
You haven't run Hamburg though, have you?
No, before. I haven't. I've run Frankfurt twice, but that's the only Germany race I've done. So
what made you pick Hamburg?
I think like the timing is kind of nice. I know like it was very cool to see Betsy like bounce back and get right into Tokyo and run so well. But I think like you also just, I mean, you want a little bit of time to like decompress. So I was like, okay, you're looking at another how many weeks, and like looking at the calendar, that one like kind of made the most sense. So
what was Benita's thoughts on all this?
Yeah, Benita's so funny. Like she just gets it. Like she was like my sister. Like they were like more distraught than I was, which is just like so nice because they care so much. And Benita was there. I mean, she raced at such a high level and she gets just like the emotional side of it. So we didn't even chat for the first, like, I think it was like maybe like 5 or 6 days later. I was like, you know what? Like, I think I should just take some time. Like nothing good happens when you're like emotional and you're like, let's just like chat in a couple of days. And she totally understood that. But yeah, I think her thing was like, yeah, I mean, you were in like great shape and like everything we kind of did in this buildup doesn't go away. So it's like, whatever's going to get you excited to do, like, let's just like kind of go all in on that. And so she was like, if you want to do another marathon, like we can do it. So I appreciated that.
Linz, for those maybe listening who don't really know who Benita Willis is, can you speak to your coach and some of her accolades? And then like, how long have you guys been working together now?
Yeah, we started working together. It'll be almost, oh my gosh, 3 years this year.
Really? Wow.
Bananas to think about. But Benita is like an absolute legend really just in general, but also like obviously in Australia. I mean, she was running these times that were just untouchable. Like at the time, I mean, they're even still, her Australian 10K record on the track was actually just broken this past weekend. And it's crazy. When I talked to her, I'm like, Benita, you were running these times and doing these things before like the shoes, before like the nutrition we have, like before all these things. And she's just so humble and she'll speak, oh no, you know, I just put the work in and, you know, things like that. I'm like, no, you're incredible. But she's run everything from what, like 30 something in the 10K to like, you know, 221 in the marathon. Like, it's just, I mean, her range was incredible. And just, she's won the world's cross country. I mean, it's everything she did is just, it's very inspiring. So when she tells me like to do something, I'm like, okay, I will listen, because this woman, she knows what she's talking about. But it's also very cool because it's like a lot of my training too, she'll be like, okay, like I can have a say in it too. It's like, oh, if you want to do this, or we can like play around with it. And I really appreciate that there's like, at this stage, like I want to keep it fun. I want to keep it like interesting. And so she sometimes is like, okay, like, cause I like to do some crazy things sometimes, as I'm sure you guys do too. You're like, I just want to experiment a little bit. And so she'll be like, all right, we'll just like see how it goes. And like, if we need to rein it in, we can. And so I always appreciate that she's never like, no, we can't do that. She just kind of lets it be a little bit more open.
Yeah, that's really nice, because I feel like at this point in your career, like you've been doing this for so long and you really start to understand like what you like, what you don't like, what works really well, what doesn't. And then, yeah, you've always been someone that likes to play around with different types of training. So that's cool that she gives you that like rein to kind of have that input, but then she's there to like support and guide as well.
Yeah, it was fun, like being on the same time zone finally when I was in Australia. I'm like, oh, we got to talk all the time. Like, it was actually kind of crazy where I was. It was like the only place in the world is like plus 30 minutes. So I think the time change of Boulder was like 17 hours and 30 minutes. So that was like the strangest. I don't understand the 30 minute thing. But yeah, so we were like ahead of 30 minute time difference. It was great.
Lindsay, if you don't know, we've talked about you quite a bit on the Relay podcast. I feel like Lindsay's been brought up quite a few times, but one of the things we talked about specifically is like you run so many miles, and and Laura over here on the opposite end of the spectrum as far as like running mileage goes. Tell us, like, how does your body handle that, and how do you like week by week decide like this feels right?
Yeah, and it's funny. Like, I feel like, I mean, I've run a lot of marathons, so like, early on in my career, I wasn't running nearly as much. Like, I just, like, my body couldn't quite handle it. But then, like, once I started working with Benita, it was like, okay, let's just, like, try to add a little bit more volume. And then you do, and then you're, like, you kind of see how you respond. And there's never, like, a specific number that she's, like, you have to hit this at the end of the week. But, like, a lot of the trials build up, I want to say, like, probably, like, most of the time, it was, like, right around 140 miles, which wow. Is just, was, like, kind of absurd. You're just like, oh my gosh, why am I running this much? But I was running like my track workouts were like the fastest they'd ever been. Like, my tempos were great. And I was like, okay, like maybe like if you can, I think you lean into your strengths and everyone has a different strength. And I was like, maybe mine is like, as of now, or knock on wood, like maybe I can handle more volume. So just kind of leaned into that. And again, I'm always playing around with it. And we've always said, Benita, she's like, well, it's like, obviously, it's great to be able to handle the volume, but you have to like get the quality in. So I think it's easy to tell if you're overdoing it, if like you can't hit your workouts and such. But things were going well, so we just kind of like kept it rolling. And yeah, it was fun. And also, I was at sea level, which is a magical place where you can run more miles and feel really good. And I don't know if you guys feel that way, but like you can run more at sea level.
I mean, if I were to ever attempt running 140 miles a week, I would definitely do it at sea level. I would not do it here in Boulder.
There's oxygen. You feel good. The recovery is great. You know, it's just, it's fun.
Again, I'm a normal and I've never run anywhere but sea level.
Come to Boulder, Lindsay. We would love to have you.
I do need to do that. For like 5 years, I've been like, I'm going to go to Boulder for like a week and just knock out like tons of in-person interviews and just immerse myself in the culture. And here I am, still not, haven't done it. I don't know why.
Lindsay, we got to get you out here. Have you been out to Colorado before?
I've been to Denver. I have a friend that lives in Denver, but only one time ever.
Man, that's great. Yeah, let's get you back out here. You can stay with Lindsay or I. You know, plenty of places.
Tour all of Boulder. You both mentioned like you run together sometimes. Like you both live near each other. Can you guys go off on like the Boulder culture a little bit? I always love it when Laura talks about Boulder culture.
Yeah, Boulder's funny. It was funny. Like even you mentioned like that parking lot, and it's like if you want to see every single person in Boulder, there's like two trailheads you go to. You go to the Res or you go to the Bobo Link. And so it was
on Saturday. I saw you. I saw like Jordy Beamish. I saw like Ollie O'Hare. Then half of our team was there. Like you can go to Tom Watson or Bobo Link and see Olympians, world champions, just anyone that you'd want to see. They're just like out running the same roads as you. It's wild. Boulder's a wild.
It's wild. And then you go to the Niwot High School track on like any given day, normally like a Tuesday, Wednesday, or a Friday, you are going to see like the Boss are out there. On is out there. The Tin Men are out there. Like, then just us who are just doing our thing are out there. Like Edna Kiplagat's out there. I'm like, these kids that are just like walking around in gym class. I'm like, if they knew like who these people were that are just like sprinting around, like, I mean, man, I hope they would appreciate it. I'm like, that is just really cool.
I know. What a place. I always think that too, Lynn. Like, I'm like, man, if I was in high school and you just come out to your track and there's just like all of these Olympians and world record holders and like the best of the best, just like running on your track with you. Like how incredible would that be? Like
it's amazing.
What's the deal with the high school though? Does everybody just have like, are they just like, this is the track pros can run on?
Well, there's a lot of rules with like timing where you can't really be on during school hours. And like a lot of people, like we have all day. So it's like, you don't want to go to the track at like 7 a.m. when it's cold out. You're like, I would just want to go when like the weather's best. And Niwot is great. I don't know how it's worked out with them. Maybe like some of the teams have like given money to like the programs or whatnot, but they let us go any time of day. You can use that track except after school when like the kids are using it. So it's like, it's kind of like a perk of going there.
Yeah, it's cool. I know like the cross country coach and track coach, Coach Kelly, has been like he used to coach like Nick Harris and some people that like obviously are like have gone on and like run professionally. So he has a great connection, I think, with a lot of like the pro side of the community. And so he's great as far as like working with a lot of pro teams to make sure that like people can get on the track and like there's some flexibility there. So that's been really nice to have that.
Lindsay, what's the competition like in Hamburg? I don't even know like who normally runs this race. What does the start list look like?
To be honest, I haven't really looked that into it. And I honestly never really do either. It's like going into races, like as it gets closer, you're like, oh, I should probably see who's running. And like even world champs, it was like 2 days before. I'm like, I really need to look at who's in this race and kind of see. And I mean, honestly, those kind of races, championship races, like anything can happen. So it doesn't matter as much. But there are a lot of women, I think, that have run right between that like 221 to like 225. So there should be like a pretty good number of people, and it's an open start. So like the one, anytime like the men are running with you is helpful. And that's, you know, it's not like a trials where, you know, it was just like just the women and whatnot. Although I think at one point, did we like catch up to the men? I don't even remember. I remember seeing men on the course at one point, actually at the trials, but
you would have caught up to some of them.
Yeah. Maybe like right at the end. So yeah, open start, but yeah, it should be fun. I know Natasha Wodak is running and I really want her to have a good day. Like would love to see her back at the Olympics for Canada. So, so always fun to see that.
Yeah. Same. I love Tosh. She's great.
Right. Cause right now, is it just Melindy that's been selected?
I think so.
Okay. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And I think Melindy's running Boston, right?
She is running Boston. Yep.
I need to catch back up with her. I haven't talked to her in a while. I love talking to Melindy.
Natasha. She's so nice. Yeah, and they're Natasha. Both great.
They're awesome.
You should get them both on.
Natasha's good. And it's incredible what they're doing. They're both like, it's like Melindy's a mom. Like, you know, like they're both like
older
athletes and they're crushing. Like they're having some of the best performances they've ever had at like this stage in their career. And I just find that so inspiring. It like inspires me as, you know, again, like being, you know, in my mid-30s. And then you look at women like that who are having these unbelievable runs and you're like, okay, like I can keep going. Like I can, like there's no reason. So it's cool. It's cool to see it.
Speaking of these masters runners, Lindsay, I know Sarah Hall is also ASICS athlete. Did you talk to Sarah after the trials?
A little bit. Yeah, she was also just like kind of like I said, it was like kind of like everyone was not in maybe the best of moods, but she was, I like really felt for her because as I was running and I could kind of see like, you know, the race playing out, like when I was like not really feeling it, I was like, gosh, like in my mind, I just kept thinking, I was like, if I can't make this team, like Sarah better make this team. Like in my mind, I just wanted her to have it so bad. And like, you know, when I was like struggling with my own stomach situation, like I wasn't even paying attention to how far away people were. And you couldn't even tell until you made that final turn. And all of a sudden, it was very cool. I saw like all the ASICS runners. And I was like, well, this is amazing. But then I could also see where Sarah was. And in my mind, I'm like, sprint, Sarah has a kick. Aww. And like, in your mind, you don't know actually how far like everybody is. But I was really, you know, I felt for her, but really cool to see, like, I mean, she gets on the track and she like rips a fast 10K and now she's, you know, setting master's records there. She's running Boston. And so, I mean, I think she's going to have a really good year. Like we said, the Olympics, everybody wants that, but you can still do exciting things beyond that. So.
Well, and it was incredible. Wasn't Orlando her 8th Olympic trials?
It was something like that. Yeah.
That's
like
unbelievable.
And like 20th having year.
To just 3, I can't imagine like 8. Like that just shows her range and for like sure. How long her career has been and how successful it has been. And it's still like on an upward, like, you know, it's still an upward trend. Like it's incredible.
Yeah. No, it's very cool. And I think I was even listening to something and she was talking about like, they were like, oh, are you excited about the master's record? And she's like, yeah, but I want to set like just the normal American record. And yeah. I like, loved it. I was like, she's getting after it and she probably will. So.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. That's awesome. How early are you going to go to Hamburg? Like how long will you be over there?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I haven't figured out all of the details yet, but I think I like to get like when I went to like Tokyo World, like Gold Coast, all of them. Like I like to get there like a week before, and if like your schedule allows it, it's kind of like why not? So so yeah, probably something like that.
Lindsay, and then I know like this is like after you're maybe not thinking about it, but like I know after you did Budapest, you and Kaylee, your sister, traveled like all over like for like another like 2 weeks or so. Do you have any plans to do that with Hamburg since you're going to be overseas or just kind of depends?
Yeah, I haven't thought about it. My my brother and his wife are actually moving to Colorado like end of April. So I'm honestly just excited to like come back and they'll be here. And then I think being gone for so long, I've actually just been having fun like being at home. So it'll be fun. Like I'm excited for the family to be out here and I haven't really planned any like big trips or anything yet. Yeah. So
I was going to ask you, I should know this, but wasn't your sister going to run the trials and did she not?
She was going to, she actually ran CIM and she ran great. She ran like a 5-minute PR. I think she was 4th. She had like a great day and then she was going, she like qualified and everything. But then, as it got closer, she was like, my body, it was a really quick turnaround. It was like December to February. And she's like, my body's just like not coming around as quickly as I want. And she's like so sweet. She's like, I'd rather be there to support you. And like, I don't feel like I'm ready to run this race. So, so she did it, but she's hoping like she'll do another one. I think she wants to do like something in the fall. I think she's excited about like a Chicago and we're from there. So I was like, do what makes you excited. I'm like on that train. So.
What did she run at CIM? Sorry.
No, go ahead.
Oh, she ran, I want to say it was I think she ran like 2:35 flat. So she ran really fast. She ran great. Yeah. And she was like, of course, upset afterwards. She's like, oh, I was like, it was right there. And I've been there before where you like won even more. And I was like, Kaylee, like you're going to drop even more time the next time you've done it. It was only like one of like maybe her 3rd marathon. So yeah, so I'm excited for her.
Well, she's had some tough luck too with some of the marathons. Like we were speaking to earlier about how you need the stars to train. Oh my God. She's had some tough ones that I'm like, those don't even count because like weather was insane, like, no one was in the field or like she's done it the hard way. So that's why it was so cool to see her like for it to come together at CIM and you're like, you're just getting started. Like you really are.
No, it was funny. Like really the only like marathon she'd done had been like not great. Like she did the hot Chicago and then she did the Indy. You might've been there, Lindsay, where it was like tornado winds and like crazy.
Yes.
And she did that one. And then she did this one out in like I don't even know. It might have been, like, South
Carolina or something.
And they told them that, like, all these people were coming to, like, try and get the trials time. And then it was only her and one other woman. And again, it was, like, 50-mile-per-hour winds. It was the day before I ran Tokyo. And I wanted to, like, I looked at the weather and I was, like, I want to tell her not to run. But she had already spent so much money to, like, go out there. And I was, like, maybe that's not what it's actually like. And then it was, like, really horrific. So I was like, I just want her to have a good experience, which she did at CIM. So I was like very happy about that.
Wait, what was this one? Did you say in the Carolinas?
I thought that's where it was. Yes. Like, I might be like, I might have misspoken.
I want to say, is that a race?
I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, it was last year in, I want to say it was day before Tokyo. So it must have been like early March.
Oh, man. So is Hamburg like hilly or flat?
Like no, I think it's flat. It's
a fast race.
I think so. Yeah. From what I've seen, like just like when you like look it up, I'm just like, it's just me like Googling, but I don't really know anyone that's done it before to ask. But yeah, it should be fun.
I don't know if I've ever asked you this, Lindsay. Do you prefer a flat fast or do you prefer like a strength course like Boston?
It's funny. I kind of like both. Like I love, I do love like a flat course, but like I also find that really challenging. There's something about like doing the same motion like over and over that you're like, I just need to go up a hill because like my body needs it. Like my glutes cannot just keep doing like this flat motion. So I like there to be like a little bit of up and down. Like I do enjoy that. I know some people like more like a time trialing course, but I'm like, you can actually run pretty fast on like a course with like some hills. I'm like, even in Boston, people are like, oh, you can't run fast in Boston. I'm like, yes, you can. I was like, you can fly in Boston like on a good day. So I like some ups and downs. Obviously, like I mean, I think New York was like my favorite marathon, but it was also like the hardest marathon I've ever done. But it was also like 80 degrees that year. But I do want to go back again because I do like I love a course like that. So
you think you'll run a major this fall?
Yeah, I would like to. I don't know which one yet. Like, of course, we're already figuring that out. I'm like, this is crazy. It's only March and we're already like getting this sorted out. But it's good. Like, it gets you excited. I need something to always like look forward to. So,
Laura, should we veer off running talk a little bit? I will tell you, I just watched the Love is Blind reunion last night. God.
Don't get me started, Lindsay. I could do a whole podcast on that entire season and the reunion. It was 97 minutes of just people.
Yeah,
that
I stayed
roasted.
Up. I watched the entire thing. I went to bed at like midnight.
Yeah. Lindsay, do you watch Love is Blind? What are shows you watch?
I haven't watched it, but like I need a new show and I cannot find anything to watch. So finally last night I was like, do I just give in to this? Do I just like yes, say like do I do it? And I think it's because yes, like do. I needed a new podcast and my sister's like, you should listen to The Toast, which is basically just like, it's basically like a trashy magazine. And I loved it, but they were just, it was all about Love is Blind. And I'm like, do I just do this? Do I just give into it? And I feel like I should.
Wait, really quick. For you. I don't know if you should or not.
Well, okay. One, you should. And we can circle back to that is why you should. But two, I have to bring this up. Lindsay loves to listen to true crime podcasts while she's running.
I do.
And it is the funniest thing to me.
I probably listen to like 20 hours of true crime a week, like to the point where I don't really have anything to listen to because I'm caught up on like every single episode of like all my shows. And I'm like, that's why yesterday I was like, I'm listening to The Toast, which again, they're hysterical, but I'm like, I feel like I'm like way older than them. But yeah, I do. I'm obsessed with true crime, all things true crime.
I saw this meme and it's all I think about. It's like how I think of Lindsay now. And I sent it to her. I saw this like TikTok reel. And it was like this girl at like work. She's like on the computer and she has headphones in and it's like what people think I'm listening to. And it's like, girls just want to have fun. And then it's like what I'm really listening to. He strangled her by like the cord of the drapes and drug her body out into the ground. And I'm like, Lindsay, this is freaking you. Like people think popping along out there and then you're listening to like these dark true crimes like on your 20-mile runs.
It's true. It's like not more for all for my easy runs and then even like some long runs I used to do music and then it's more just like I just need like background like anything. So I'm like, I'll just put on some crime, why not?
Well, I think Love is Blind is for you. Lindsay and I are going to get you on that boat because but jump into season 6. Like I'm telling people if you haven't watched like if you haven't seen any of the other ones, this season packed a punch and it seems to be pulling people in. So maybe just like jump in here and then see if you like it and then you can go back.
I think I watched the one in like the very first one. I don't know if it was during COVID, but
it was during COVID. That's how I watched. Yep.
I can't think of what the people's names were. Oh, I can't think of them. But anyways, I did watch that one.
That couple is still together. I think two from the original season, Cameron and oh my God, I'm blanking on her name. And then Barrett and and I'm blanking on his wife's name. I think they're still together from the OG season.
Exciting to hear. Crazy.
Yeah, 6 years, you guys.
Laura is a Love is Blind evangelist.
honestly, people are loving it. And like on Netflix, that's why I almost watch it, because I think it's on Netflix, right? It had the little banner that's like top 10 in the USA. I'm like, even Netflix is telling me I have to watch this.
Don't fight it.
Do you think, okay, tell me what you think about that compared to like The Bachelor. Like, do you really think it could work?
Okay, I think if we've learned anything, love is not blind. I think we have learned that, and I think we can agree to a certain extent. But it is wild to me that even with The Bachelor, I don't know. I haven't gotten into The Bachelor as much. I don't know if Lindsay, if you watch that more. I've only seen random seasons of The Bachelor, but Love is Blind, there's more successful couples than you would think. Wow. It's not a lot, but it's more than you would think. And some of them are having babies now.
I agree.
I don't know. It's kind of crazy. The concept is really interesting. I think that's the whole idea is you take this concept where you remove physical, anything physical for at least the first 2 weeks and allow people the chance or the space to actually build an emotional connection, as opposed to rejecting someone immediately because they're shorter than you or whatever our physical checklist is. But again, love is not.
I'm going to need to know a little bit. That's my question. Cause they only air certain parts. Can you describe what you look like?
No, but people cheat in this last season. Remember when Clay
said you look like Megan Fox and she didn't.
Yeah, that will haunt Chelsea forever.
I know, poor girl. Yeah, yeah.
And she's beautiful.
She's beautiful. And I know why she said that. I can see it. She doesn't actually look like her, but you can see it in the face.
But you know, Jimmy literally pictured Megan Fox and was you don't look like Megan Fox.
Big boobs, all the things. Yeah.
The only person that looks like Megan Fox is Megan Fox.
Right.
There was a resemblance.
In the thing, in the pot? I don't remember.
2 weeks, basically. Oh,
that's quick.
Hey, Linz, you know what? We just missed Love is Blind Denver. That's the next season. They just cast
it. I could have been on it.
We could have been bachelorettes on Love is Blind.
I was thinking that. Y'all could have done that.
We could have.
That's so funny. I actually got oh my gosh, it was so funny the other day. I don't know how this person found me, but it was the people that put on the Amazing Race or something saw this article about Kaylee and I, and they were like, do you guys want to audition for this show? And I was like, no, I don't want to audition for the show. And I was just
no way, you guys got called out. That's amazing.
Yeah, called to be on the Amazing Race. And then I had to look up. I was like, what is the Amazing?
You should
This show was this show goes on. It's pretty old at this point. And I was like, is that the moment? Race across America, do all
you
these.
You guys would win. What would you get if you win that show? It's
listen, this is kind of random. My neighbors actually won that show last year.
Did they?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
They live across the street from me.
What? Wow.
Yeah.
Maybe they should pick their brain, because I'm of course, my immediate, I was like, well, how am I going to train during all this? But then I was
we train during, Linz. It's the Amazing Race.
Yeah, it's the Amazing Race, but it was really funny. I didn't respond to it, but I did send it to Kaylee. She's like, should we do it? And I think we should do it.
Lindsay and I want you to do this. We're like, do it.
I'll put some thought into it. They were like, do you want to audition for it? I'm like,
yeah. They want to see that you have a fun personality. Do you know, because you got to play up the camera a little bit.
Yeah.
Haley would be perfect for that. You guys would.
You for sure have a personality. I have a question. Would you, who of the two of you would do the mental stuff? Because it's a lot of solving puzzles and problems. How do we get to the next place? Because I've always thought if I did this with my husband, I would just follow him around everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me where to go.
I think Kaylee would be, she's way better at that. I think she could be calm. She could figure it out. I feel even when anything breaks in my house, I call her and she's I don't know how to fix this, but she puts in a good effort. But you never know. Maybe we'll take them up on this offer. I'm it's got to come during a downtime. So we'll see.
Would you ever go on The Bachelor?
Oh, well, so I don't know about you guys. Did you watch like the very original like Bachelor? I was like in like the eighth grade when this came out, but I did watch it for the longest time. I think the very first one was like Trista and Ryan.
They're still together.
They are still together. And but honestly, now I look at like I've seen like more recent ones, and like if someone's like in their 30s and they're on like the contestants, they're just like, this person's a little bit older. And I'm like, oh my gosh, they are not old. I am like, 33 is not old. And
no.
I don't see myself doing it. I don't know if I would thrive. I just don't know if I could take it seriously.
They should start having bachelors that the men that are like 40 though, or like late 30s instead.
I like that. Cause yeah, if you see like they're like, oh, she's in her 30s. Oh man. And I'm like, oh my gosh, that is not crazy.
I know.
No, 30s are the new 20s. I'm convinced.
100%. And yes, 100%. Okay, so we've recruited Lindsay to maybe do The Amazing Race, maybe watch Love is Blind, and probably not go on The Bachelor.
Okay. It sounds accurate.
That feels good.
Yeah. Your true crime obsession. I'm reading a book right now on my Kindle called Pretty Girls by Karen Slaughtery. And if you like true crime, you'll probably like this. I'm like, okay. Get me done with this book so I cannot read it anymore because it's too much. Like,
are you someone that like if you start the book you like have to finish it?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah,
same. I just read, and I am not into like the fantasy genre, but my sister-in-law's like, oh, what was it called? The Fourth Wing. Have you guys read this book?
Molly Grable just told me to read The Fourth Wing, and then The Iron Flame is like the sequel, and she was like, I haven't been able to put it down. And I'm like,
started this book and I was like, I'm never going to like this. This is stupid.
Oh my God.
Gosh, obsessed. I actually just ordered the second one and I was like, who am I? Like, I don't like dragons. Like, why am I reading this book?
Well, she was like, it's Game of Thrones with like Hunger Games with like Harry Potter. And then she was like, there's even like a sprinkling of like 50 Shades of Grey. I'm like, what is this book? Like, yes. What? How does it have all these different genres?
You just summed it up perfectly. Where I've been like, this is Harry Potter, 50 Shades. It's all of it. But it is a little long. It might be like 500 pages, but like I did order the second one, so I don't know who I've become at this point.
I'm convinced, and you both have spoken on it so highly that I'm like, all right, give me that. She's like, I have the first copy if you want it.
And I
like,
bought it. I know it's upstairs. I'm like, I will lend it to whoever wants it.
Okay. My neighbor friend, who's like one of my book people, like she's a good book reader. Like she always has good recommendations. She recommended that and I was like, dragons, no way. And she was like, that's what I thought. Okay.
It's true. I think I bought it in Australia actually because I needed something to do, and I read like 10 pages and I was like, this is stupid, I don't like it. And then I gave it a real shot and I was like, ooh, I love it.
Ooh. I need a book club pick for April, so maybe I'm kind of scared though. Because that genre.
I always will take book recommendations and show recommendations. I'm like running low on the shows. So.
My book club pick for March is The Whispers.
Ooh, okay.
It's by the same woman who wrote The Push. Have you read The Push?
No.
It's really good. I'll send you guys the link.
I've got like 20 books on hold at the public library over here. So I just need to like actually go pick them up.
I love that you go to the library. I haven't checked out books in a library in so long. That's amazing that you do that.
I love the Louisville Library. But the problem is like all the books come on off hold at the same time. So then you have like 12 books and you're like, there's no way I'm going to get through 12 books in like 2 weeks. This is just not going to happen. So
I just went to the library too, and we just got chickens, and I like bought, I checked out all these books on like chicken coops and homesteading and all this stuff. And I have them like just sitting on my dresser. And then my friend who also got chickens with me, like my neighbor, we're doing this together. Like she has her own, I have my own. She's like sending me all these Instagram profiles of chicken coop people. And I'm like, oh yeah, that's what we do in 2024. I don't need a homesteading book. I can just look at
Instagram. Can we hear more about the chickens?
Yeah, Linz, you actually got them because you were debating this a couple weeks ago on Relay. Okay.
Yeah. So we got them. I went on a walk with my friend Whitney. She was very hungover. And I was like, you need to get out of the house. We need to go on a walk. You need some fresh air. And at the end of the walk, I was like, I think I'm going to get some chickens. And she's like, I've always wanted chickens. And then that night she's texting me all this information and she's like, I think I'm going to go get this chicken tomorrow. So since she moved so fast, I was like, okay, I'm in too. And so we're doing it together. Like she lives like a half a mile up the street and we're both brooding. I think it's called brooding our chickens now. Like I have 7 chickens downstairs right now in my house. Yes.
Are they like babies?
Yeah, they're babies.
Oh, yeah. They're like so cute.
They're like 3 weeks old, but they're getting big already. Like they're growing so fast.
Wow. That's
so you're in the process of building a coop that they're going to like be in? Yes.
A coop that I will not build. And my husband for sure is like, absolutely not. I'm not even putting it together if you order it from Tractor Supply.
Well, this is an exciting venture for you. Look at this. A chicken mama.
But see, the thing is like I have this thing where I buy a bunch of house plants and then I just set them down and my husband keeps them alive. And he's like, that you're doing the same thing with your chickens.
the kids probably love the chickens though.
Your boys will take
care of them. Yeah. The boys love them. My oldest is like, for sure. Like it's his thing. Like he gets up every morning and checks on them. And that's going to be his like big chore of the week too, to clean things out and everything. So yeah, I'm a chicken mom now.
Yeah, fresh eggs are really, like, I didn't know that there would be, like, a huge difference.
Oh, yeah.
But after having had, like, fresh eggs that, like, you get that morning from your chickens, you're like, oh, my God. Yeah, it's
like blue. I lived with someone once who had chickens, and I think that the eggs were. They were, like, blue and pink.
Yeah, it depends on, well, I'm a chicken expert now.
Yeah, now you would know.
What did Instagram tell you?
It depends on the breed. I know all about these chicken breeds. My favorite chicken is my Rhode Island Red. And all the different chicken, they have different. So we've got some brown, we've got some blue. One of them has pinkish eggs. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure some will have some boring old white eggs too.
I just remember like the blue eggs and I thought it was the coolest thing. I was like, wow, this is awesome.
Blue, who knew?
But speaking of Instagram, I did see my friend keeps also sending me things of like people making fun of chicken people. And she's like, we're going to be those people that are at like parties talking about like how cool our chicken egg colors are and like how much oranger their yolks are. And we have this group of like 10 of us that are on this school board thing together. And Whitney and I are just now we're always talking about our chickens and all the other moms are like, you still talking about those chickens?
You have to lean into what you love. There you go. Just embrace it.
Just own this new chapter, you know? And you'll find people like Lindsay and I who are fascinated by this, who don't have chickens, but I've always wondered what it would be like.
I don't have a backyard, but if I did,
I don't either.
It is.
Same. Condo life is harder for chickens.
It is hard.
It's not easy.
Laura, how do we wrap this?
I like how you wrap it. Like you, like we asked Lindsay like one last, like well, you're I mean, good. You rapid fire people. Like that's okay, kind of fun.
I can rapid fire this.
Yeah.
Lindsay, well, what are you doing tonight? What's your week and weekend like?
Watching Love is Blind.
Obviously. What am I doing tonight? Well, I'll probably go out again this afternoon to train. What else am I doing? My sister lives right across the street now, which is very fun. So I feel like I go over there pretty often. She's got the dog too, which I pretend like is my dog, even though she's not. It was actually funny when I was in Australia. They're like, who's watching the dog? I was like, it's not actually my dog. But yeah, probably do that. I don't really have anything too crazy. It's actually really nice out in Boulder right now. It's like 60. So I feel like it's like springtime where I could like sit outside and I don't know. We'll see. Yeah, but nothing too crazy. No.
What's your favorite true crime podcast?
Oh, so I am a big fan of The Crime Junkie. I've listened to every single one. I was in the fan club where I got extra content last year, and then I forgot to renew it. So I need to renew it so I can listen to more. And then I do love My Favorite Murder, but I like the older episodes. So I'm almost like have finished the whole – I mean, this podcast has been going on for like 8 years, and so I'm almost done with like all of it. So I think even this morning when I was out there, I was listening to like – a 2018 one. And I was just laughing. I was like, how was that 6 years ago? That's crazy. But
that is freaking wild. Crazy.
Yeah.
Oh, well, thank you, Lindsay, for coming on Relay. Back with the chat with the pro, Laura. We're doing it.
We're back. We're back in the game, you guys. We do plan on doing a monthly chat with the pro. And again, Lindsay is kicking off 2024 for us. So we're excited. It's the best way to do it. We love you, Linz.
Thanks for having me. This was very fun. And I will always chat all things chickens.
And lastly, everybody, if there's a specific pro that you want to hear us do an episode with, just leave it in the comments of Instagram or email us. And if you like the show, leave us a rating and review. Thanks for being here.